Next up, number 701. It's a prime for sure. November 11th, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Well, welcome to the first of the Above the Bushel Basket series. Yes, we promised last week and we are delivering above, outside the bushel basket. I don't know whether to go with an OBB, ABB, but it happens to be a beautiful day to be standing on that bushel basket because the scene that we're seeing out here in Pasadena, California, blue skies, crisp weather, a beautiful autumn day, and started off really special for me because it happens to be Veterans Day here in America, a day where we take a pause out to remember veterans. And I started off the day with my usual bike ride and went up to Sierra Madre, a local town not too far from Pasadena. And there is a memorial park, which I know that has a cannon in it, and pass by it all the time, and I know it's called Memorial Park, so I figured it had some kind of relationship with the veterans, not figuring what I'd find. I took a stop over there, took a picture. I think we're going to use it for today's show cover, but what I find was really beautiful. Inside the park, there was a small little memorial there with, I would say, maybe about 10 to 12 panels on it with pictures of soldiers who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, who have given their lives for this country, for the United States of America. And I wasn't expecting that emotional burst inside of me because I got up there and it was early morning, beautiful, like I said, beautiful weather today, just a perfect day to ride too because there were no cars out because of the holiday. And I just stood there and you look at these young faces. Yeah, they are young faces. And you realize that they have paid what is a cliche term now, the ultimate price. I say that because it is cliche. We say it so easily that we forget what a huge sacrifice that is. And I caught myself thinking, you know, well, how does this square away with what we've been preaching, what we've been teaching about the need to aim for peace, about you don't fight fire with more fire. You need to speak a language of love. And yet, looking at this memorial, standing across from these pictures of these lives that have been spent, you can't help but think about the sacrifice in terms of those individuals. I think rather than collectively talking about the big sacrifice, when you see pictures like this, you realize each and every one of them were individuals. You realize in each and every one of them were somebody's child. Somebody was waiting for them to return. And you realize at that point that these people have made the sacrifice not because they want to they want to kill other people, but it's because they understood by serving, they understood by this military presence or their participation in the military, as what Veterans Day is, their participation in the military was going to make a difference. And so in many ways, we talk about the soldiers and about the military. You got to remember that each and every one of them is there doing something that they are called to do, feeling the calling. It's the governments, it's the top brass up above who play the pawns, who play that big chess game. These are the people that you need to really cite for this horrible crime of what's called war, of what's called violence against other people. And that's really where we come up with the next step. What is that next step? Can we find an alternative way of playing that chess game, so to speak? If the leadership is going to be playing the chess game, it doesn't always have to end in war and killing other pawns and other people. But there are different alternatives, one especially that was given to us by Jesus Christ, and that is to find the peace. It's interesting because I was up at this memorial park and looking at these pictures. There is another memorial at a park that's on the other side of Pasadena, and that is, where is that? San Marino. Yeah, and over there, it's interesting because there is a memorial there, and there's an inscription which I've caught a couple times. Because they've put up these pictures of people, or maybe it's the names, I can't remember if it's pictures. But a large inscription there says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And this is a quote that comes to us from the Gospels. It is attributed to Jesus Christ, who, upon getting ready to go up on the cross, is making a pronouncement that greater love has no one than this, than wanting to give your life for someone else, especially for your friends, right? And what's interesting about it in this town is it's just written up there as if it just fell out of heaven. Well, it did fall out of heaven, but in other words, there's no there's no byline on it, okay? It doesn't say who said this. It's just up there like it's an axiom, which it is. It is an axiom, right? Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But attributed to Jesus Christ. For some reason, if it was said or pronounced by anybody else, you know that inscription would be up there. But in this case, it just exists up there. That's okay. That's okay. I know Jesus was interested in getting his message out. And that's another pillar of the next step or epistle or armadoxy is about the message, the importance of the message that Jesus Christ spread, that he came to spread. So this is where we begin today. It happens to be Veterans Day. And we salute the veterans who gave their lives, who sacrificed, who gave their all for the principles that they believed in. Yeah, I think that's what I thought of this morning, that they believed in it, right? Yeah, of course, we all believe in it, in freedom, in independence, in fighting for freedom. But later, sometimes you discover that governments have played the military or other entities or just the entire system as pawns. You realize that there have been other ulterior motives, but those people on the front line, those people who gave their life, did it because they believed what they were doing is right. And they believe in those principles. And that's what we need to salute. We need to salute the principles that are under it, the reason why these people have sacrificed and fought for the principles that they believe in. So that's how we begin Veterans Day today, and it's 11-11, November 11th. And it was interesting because, again, by chance, when I got back home, I turned on the news, and they were laying the wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And for the first time in 100 years, they're allowing the public to go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which has a history of its own. And I looked at the time, and it happened to be 8-11, which would translate over there on the East Coast as 11-11. So those of you who blame me or sometimes mock me for putting all those numbers together and running those numbers, look at this. On 11-11, on November 11th, at 11-11, the wreath was placed on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers. Had nothing to do with it. Don't blame me. Don't pick on me. It was done by the government, and it's a beautiful gesture, a gesture that we should never, ever forget, because it does take people. It does take individuals who believe in things greater than themselves to bring about the changes that we so desire in this world. I'd like to share with you a story that took place this past weekend, and one which changed my life, changed my outlook in many respects, and changed the lives of others too. It happened last Saturday night. My brother gave me a call. His house was on fire. Yeah, on fire. We are a family of four siblings, and each of us notifies one another, and I got a message, let's get out there. And of course, you don't hesitate, you get out there. Still, it took about an hour for me to get to his place. So I'm just mentioning the hour because when I got there, it was still smoldering. There were still little spark-ups. That's how intense it was since the time I got the message to being out there at the site. An hour burning, and you're just looking at the devastation, the size of the flames. It was on local TV, and you see what's left. Actually, literally cars melted, the metal melted, garage door melted, and it's made out of metal. So you could imagine the intensity of this inferno. And thank God, let me say this, thank God everyone was okay. And this is the one point that we always say to one another, and you have to say it, because it's the only means of protecting your sanity. It's a justification for being optimistic, I guess. But it's to say that thank God no lives were lost. Because everything else is replaceable, except the human life. And you say, well, not everything is replaceable. I mean, the memories, photos. And I've often thought about that, and I'm sure you have too. If you had to take something out of your house at a moment's notice, what would it be? For me, it would be photos. It would be memories. It would be things that would tie me to who I am. Anyway, yes, this was tragic because a lot of those memories were lost as well in this fire. Their dog, they had to open the door, and he escaped that night. Can imagine how scared he must have been. We looked all over. Neighbors came out. My brother and sister-in-law had to come out. And fortunately, their son wasn't at home. And so, you know, you can start thinking about what might have happened. And this is a human trait that we do this. In the face of tragedy, you look and you say, what might have happened? And that's a very positive thing to do. That's very, very positive. Because what it does is it tells you what we've been preaching all along, that you've got to be thankful at every moment. And as you look at this, you say, how can I be thankful when everything is coming down? Well, you got to be thankful for the things you do have. It's easy to look at things and say, this is horrible, and, you know, why is this happening? And that was the one question that people kept coming up that night. That night, people were coming up, how did this happen? Why did this happen? And all this. And really, standing in the next step, what I'm going to share with you is kind of wild, really, because I was thinking about the questions that were coming to us, and I thought about like the difference between East and West, particularly when you study like Eastern thought and everything. It's not about the why. It's happened. It has happened. There is nothing you can do to change that. So the why really doesn't help you. What you need to know is, what do we do now? Where are we now? What's the decision that I have to make at this moment? And I felt like I was doing that at that moment. It was very kind of like a out-of-body experience, because you're sitting there and you're calculating all these things and figuring out, what do you need to do at this moment? How can you bring about the greatest relief and help? And what was beautiful, I think, was the neighbors that came out. And one, it was an Armenian fellow, actually, just living across the street, came out and brought brand new clothes, brand new shoes to my brother and sister-in-law. I mean, brand new, like with tags on them, you know. And I thought to myself, you know, yeah, I do things like this. I start thinking about the scriptural significance of that. What was the question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? The young man asked Jesus? And Jesus said, follow the commandments, do this and that. And then the guy said, I do all that. And he says, well, then love your neighbor as yourself. And then he turns around and says, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, who goes out of his way to help his neighbor, going out of his way. And that's what we were seeing. It's basically the story of the Good Samaritan being lived out in the midst of this horrible tragedy. So this takes place. This takes place, and we are there for how many hours? And you just feel very, very sad, because when you realize here's a young family who's trying to just get started and this is happening, and you realize what's the outcome of it, it's going away. And you start consoling yourselves by saying, you know, again, you say that, you know, thank God life was spared. And the other thing, insurance, right? You say, oh, thank God we have insurance. You know that good or bad, they're going to try to do something. Something's going to happen. You're not going to be homeless. And thank God you have family. Family that came around and put you into a car and took you off. And there we were late at night going and getting a few supplies and delivering my brother's sister-in-law and their son to my sister's house and delivering different things here and there. Anyway, long story short, the evening came to an end in the middle of the night with a state of shock. I mean, you still can't believe it, but you're in shock because you can't process that everything that you've done, everything, your whole life right in front of you is being burnt up. Everything is going in there. But you start consoling yourself with like statements like, we're here, we're breathing, we're alive, we have insurance, we're going to make it, we know we're going to do it. And you start listening to people and you start holding people and you have hugs, a lot of things. And that night, that's how we went to sleep. A lot of thoughts. Like I said, you know, a lot of people asking, how did it happen? What did it happen? And I found myself like outer body just listening to these questions and realizing, yes, I have that common curiosity too. But the how and the why weren't important. It's like, it's happened. The question is, what do we do now? Where are we right now? Where are we standing? And how do you move forward from that point? And the questions that come up in your mind, is this going to be an opportunity for us to regroup? What do we do going forward, moving forward? Not with the anxiety, not the typical questions about like, how am I going to make it? But what is that next step that we need to take? And I think that we are wired to do this. I think that society teaches us to look backwards, to look back and find those reasons. And the whole study of history is about that, right? We look at the past and we claim that by looking at the past, we will learn by our mistakes and forge a better tomorrow. Well, that's beautiful, but do we? Ask yourself, I don't know, I'm not going to judge anybody, but ask yourself, by looking at the past, have you changed your tomorrow or the way you live right now? In many respects, we just continue by looking at the past, feeling bad for the mistakes we've made, rather than using them as places from which we can springboard into the next chapters of our life. And it's with those thoughts that we went to sleep that night, Saturday night. What little sleep we did get was complimented, because here in the United States, we gained an hour because daylight savings time had finished. I'm going to take a break right now. Just think about these thoughts right now, because I'm going to tell you about what happened in the morning. I told you, it changed my perspective, and I think you need to hear this. I think it's a lesson for all of us, and that's coming up. Let's listen right now, appropriately, Sanctuary by Ian Anderson off of the Secret Language of Birds. Thank you.
go solder into the purest kind of slavery. But add little middlemen profited from damaged goods along the way. Good angels brought her back to a last Nepal summer, debased and hollow-faced, a smile might become her. Now she's cozied up and comforted in the warm flesh of September. Gone before winter, wandering as to might have been, somebody's daughter in sanctuary waiting. Softer cage of kindness, far and further still away. From time-warped Victorian zoos, where staring ice cream game boys play. Big paws, worn claws, and swishing tails. More damaged goods in the market sales. Too proud for anger, too late for hate, resigned indignity. Gone before winter, purring might have been somebody's kitten in sanctuary waiting.
For anger, too late for hate, resigned in dignity, gone before winter, wondering as to might have been's, somebody near you in sanctuary waiting. Yes, that was Ian Anderson off of the Secret Language of Birds album called Sanctuary, the name of the song. And, you know... Yes, we need that sanctuary. Although this is, well, there's multiple meanings. There's a lot of meanings. It's how you take it, how you interpret it, how you listen to it. I hope you enjoyed it. We will have a link on today's show notes to not only this song, but to the entire catalog of Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. I'm really excited because just in a couple months, the newest album is going to be released. I keep wanting to say CD and realizing that CDs are obsolete. You know, we got excited when they took away one of the sides of an album and called it a CD. You know, no more two sides. We got one side and so much more content. Now, there's no more CD, except maybe if you're lucky enough, you get a CD player in your car. But now it's digital media. Yes. So coming up, by the way, just FYI, whenever anything is produced by Tal, I'm the first one to get the actual physical album. I know, don't ask me to get the vinyls. I've been through that, done that. I just love a crystal clear, beautiful rendition of it. Then I'm through with those scratches and pops and hisses. You know, they let the younger generation discover it. Anyway, this is Sanctuary. I'll have a link on today's show notes, and I invite you to really look into just set so much meaning and so much pleasure by Ian Anderson, Jethro Tull. Excited that there's going to be a new album coming up called Zealot Gene in a couple months. And you know what it does? It just stimulates you to think, to dance, to groove, to move around. There's just so many dimensions to it. And I was really, really excited because there's new people discovering it. And now there's new podcasts that are dedicated to this music. And it just, you get to hear bits and pieces here and there. Sanctuary. And I think we also need a little sanctuary where we can retreat. I think all of us have been looking for that. And I think when we hear songs like this, you realize it's not about the building, but there are special spaces where you can retreat, where you can find sanctuary, sometimes as close as your mind. There was a song like that too, right? Back, trying to take the second step after I reported to you this horrific, horrific fire that took place. And my brother's house, his young family who had just moved to Southern California to find themselves, to establish roots here, and all of a sudden to see that dream, literally the dream, go up in smoke. And the way we adapt to these situations by making the excuses, by finding the good in them, and finding reasons to say thank you. And it is a challenge in the midst of that to say thank you. But once you step back and you realize you are able to say thank you, in other words, you're living, that's your first point, right? Thank you that I'm alive. And you start realizing all of the beauty that's around you. So much to be thankful for. The people that come out. The love that's in the air. Yes, you've lost, but those losses can all be replaced. What can't be replaced is the beauty and the wonder of that life. So, as I told you, Saturday night ended this way with a lot of thoughts, too, from all of us. But here we go. The next morning was Sunday morning, and I was very close to not going to church, only because of the physically, I was just drained. Emotionally, I was drained. I shouldn't say only because, big reason. But I needed to go. I needed to go because, I should say, it was one of the few Sundays that I was not assigned to do a service. And I was going to go to the cathedral because Archbishop Barkev Martirosyan, the former primate of Artsakh, was going to be the celebrant at the Divine Liturgy. And I said, I really wanted to go to hear him, to receive his blessing. And I found quite a bit of reasons not to move because I was just so dead tired, but I got up and I went, and I'm so glad I did, because what happened was really changed the way I looked at things. I went into the vestry when I got to church, and there was Archbishop Martirosyan getting vested, and the only person in the vestry with him was Archbishop Hovnon. And he saw my situation. I guess he could tell from my face. I mean, I was really just beat. And he said, "What's the matter?" And I told him, "My brother's house burnt down last night." And you know, when you say something like that, there's the usual shock that goes with it. What are you talking about? What does that mean? It was burnt down. Yeah, it was burnt down. It was literally, it went up in smoke. And the Archbishop expressed his sympathy. We went through a small little dialogue there, but we're getting ready to go into the Divine Liturgy. And I looked over at Archbishop Barkev Martirosyan, again, the former primate of Artsakh. And he didn't comment. He didn't say anything. And that, right there, it clicked in my head that this man has heard that sentence hundreds, if not thousands of times. My brother's house was burnt last night. My brother's house burnt last night. How many times has he heard that? He's from Artsakh, for God's sake. He's from Artsakh, where the Turks are constantly burning down, are killing, are destroying, desecrating. And I, in his silence, he said a lot. In his look, I just thought to myself, yeah, here's a guy who could look at that and literally turn it around and say, "And so?" Not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. Not in like not being concerned. But in the sense that in the grander picture, yeah, your brother's house burnt. But do you realize that not only my brother's house, but the entire city block, the entire city, the entire country has burnt down? Do you realize that each of those people that burnt down did not have the luxury of having insurance that would put up the house again, that would allow them not to be homeless? In the middle of the Turks doing all of this, they don't have that luxury of calling up an insurance agent and saying, "My house is being set to fire by these Turks. Please come and take care of it." And it just hit me that night that really all of this is relative. Yes, I'm not discounting the tragedy that befell my brother. I'm not discounting that at all. Everybody has their pains, their sufferings. But I'm also cognizant of the pain of others. Isn't that what In His Shoes is? And that's what happened to me at that moment. I just, in his face, in this archbishop who had seen his country over the last 30 years, ups and downs, fires, and fires on top of fires, destruction, who had prayed with the people, who had stood with the people, who had fought with this people. This archbishop listened very nicely, very dignified, did not discount my pain, but in his face, you can see that this was one of many pains. And for that moment, it just hit me very hard that this is really the calling of In His Shoes. It's to be able to see within others the pain that they have, even in your pain. And by doing so, what happens? Even in your pain, you become thankful. Even in your pain, you understand that the only way to survive is to pick the small little portions that you can to be thankful for. And very appropriate, especially at this time, right? As we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, it's that thankfulness. Which a lot of times you say, well, wait a minute, you know, like, look at everything that's happened in our world and is happening right now. What can I be thankful for? Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot. And that's that perspective. That's the perspective that the Christian has. And that's the perspective that changes our ability to not look at the why did it happen, but what do I do now? Not about how do I prevent this from happening, but what do I do now to help people, to give them that sense of stability, to help them move forward. And therein is your calling. Therein is the ministry. Therein is what the Christian is called to do. It's not about looking at the past and saying, oh, look at Job. Job went through all of these horrible things, one after the other, and God played him in a chess game against the devil. It's not looking at all of that. It's not looking at the past. It's saying, here we are. We are living in the moment. We are right now. The eternal He is. I am. Right now, not the past, not the future, but I'm right here. So what do I do? The only thing you can do is to extend yourself and to help. And in that helping, you realize how important it is to keep this flow going, the flow of staying in the eternal present. That, yeah, yesterday's gone, tomorrow you don't know. So hang on to what you've got right now. Share it, celebrate it. Be there for people. Share your love with others. And it's in that sharing of the love that you realize that you become human. No, not God. You become human because it is the one thing that we can do. The one thing that we can do. Remember how we started off today's show? We said that, okay, yeah, we have to find that alternative to bring peace. It is love. It is love. You can't escape it. And there it is. It's in the simple actions that you can pull off. The simple actions of just being able to do the right thing. And you don't need any mentor. You don't need any guru. You don't need me to tell you what is right or wrong. You know what it is. We all know what it is. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was lonely, you came and visited me. I saw that on the streets of Northridge. In other words, I saw the Christian message being played out. Now the turn is ours as Christians who carry the label of Christian for us to do exactly that.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazgen.
I wanted to take a few extra minutes today at the end of the show to share with you some of the activities that will be coming up in the next few weeks, of course, because the holidays are upon us, New Year's coming up, our Christmas celebration. Before that, we do a lot of preparing by not just cooking stuff, but actually by helping people. And I wanted to share with you a few of the In His Shoes programs that we've been doing for years, and once again, we're going to be putting them into motion. Actually, most of them are in motion. First of all, we have the toy drive. It'll start the day after Thanksgiving and continue till December 21st. Now, what we do is we collect toys for children who otherwise get forgotten because of domestic violence. They may not have been not the physical victim of domestic violence, but they've been outside of their home. They've been put into foster care because their parents have had disputes or drugs or whatever it may be. These children often get neglected. In fact, they're the ones that are sort of in the shadows. We're going to be sending out toys to the children of domestic violence like we have for the last several years. I think this will be our 18th annual toy drive. And we do this in the name of a young lady, a victim of domestic violence named Yvette Hagopian. With the blessings and consent of her parents, we put her name on this so that we are reminded that nobody is ever forgotten, no matter what happens to them. Evil cannot overcome the goodness of people. And so we invite you to bring toys together and share the holiday spirit by giving toys to the young kids. Now you say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? How can I bring toys? I don't live anywhere close to you. Aren't you in Southern California? Yes, I am. We are in Burbank, we're in Pasadena, we're in Glendale, but guess what? We have something called the internet. Isn't that beautiful? You can participate in the toy drive simple way. All you need to do is go to this address, and I'll say it, and it'll be in our show notes as well. tiny.cc/IHS, that's in his shoes abbreviation, -wishlist. Okay? tiny.cc/IHS wishlist. Go there. And you'll find that we have a catalog. We have a wish list. Yeah, you'll notice it. It's on Amazon, okay? Order to your heart's content. Because whatever you order, there is a beautiful group of ladies who congregate, who get together once a week under the name Circle of Faith. And they have promised me that whatever we collect over there, they're going to duplicate. They're going to give that same money and those toys to the kids in Armenia. Whoa! Is this the blessing flowering out, being multiplied? Ah, of course it is. So isn't that beautiful, okay? So if you give through this toy drive, it'll get doubled and be sent to Armenia as well. So please participate in this. That's the Yvette Hagopian toy drive. Again, everything I'm telling you will be in our show notes. Secondly, we have the Thanksgiving celebration. We're going to be meeting on the eve of Thanksgiving, and we're asking people to bring in canned goods, food. And this is not to feed the homeless on Thanksgiving. Everybody does that, and thank God there's a lot of people who get fed. But what about the next day? The food banks are all empty. So the food that we collect, we're going to be able to take out and resupply the food banks on that Friday, the Friday that's usually designated as Black Friday, because you can go out there and you can do your shopping. Instead, we're going to be taking the food and distributing it in the food banks. So we're asking people to be generous. And again, you can make a donation. Just send it to In His Shoes and drop me a note. I'm at feedback@epostle.net. And let me know. That's what you wanted to go to. Now, I'm excited to tell you that tonight, for the first time in almost 20 months, we're going to be feeding the homeless in person. Yes, COVID hit. And we went into a different gear where we were feeding the homeless. Guess how? We got caterers. We catered the meals. Well, we had to. They wouldn't allow us into the facilities. And it was a very dangerous time. And now the people are getting more vaccinated and are well prepared. They're allowing us for the first time to go into to go into the shelter and feed them. But I'm very, very excited to tell you that we're back on track. The catering was kind of an interesting concept. It allowed us to do some from behind scenes, sending out the caterer to feed the people. But today there's something to be said about the hands-on. And I'm excited because there's about four or five kids from Clark, is it a middle school or high school in La Crescenta, that are going to be joining us in the next few months, one of which will be coming up tonight. They'll be participating, and that's exciting for me because it tells me the next generation is ready to do some stuff as well. And finally, after the toy drive, after the Thanksgiving, I want to share with you a very important date, and that is December 12th. It's a Sunday evening. We're going to be commemorating Children's Memorial. This is one of the greatest tragedies that befalls upon anybody who has gone through it knows it is the greatest of tragedies, losing a child, because it is against nature. A natural process says a child grows up and buries his parents. In this case, it's worked the other way. We get together on the second Sunday of every year. It is called Children's Memorial. We've been doing it for 25 years, remembering a young girl 25 years ago, Katya Hamparyan, who had passed away that year. And we remembered her in this memorial. And since then, hundreds, and I would even say thousands, of people have been affected by this program, by this Children's Memorial. We're going to be doing it again this year, December 12th, and with the blessings of the Hamparyan family and the blessings of our Archbishop, we're going to even look at putting up a mural at the cathedral that will reflect the Children's Memorial. It's a very special, special time, but it is a way you can get involved virtually as well. And if you have somebody that you'd like remembered, please drop me a line at the email I gave you and just say, please remember this person, and know that they will be in our prayers as well. So we've got a very active holiday season coming up, the In Issues Ministry. I will put a link on today's show notes where you can find out information about all of our holiday programs, just about everything we talked about. So do check out those show notes, okay? Well, that about does it. We got to get ready now to go out to feed people and walk in the shoes of others. And we do that very proudly because we are carrying that above the bushel basket, not hiding it, not hiding it. We are carrying it above the bushel basket. So I need your prayers. Pray for this ministry, and thank you very much. God bless you for your support and your love. With that, I want to thank you also for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Yeah, you may say, what, you talked about such depressing things? No, I talked about some awful things that happened, horrible things that happened. But I also talked about how to move forward, how to take the next step. And in that, that's something that we need to, as Christians, be able to stand up with and move forward with and celebrate. So I hope you enjoyed today's show. I hope you take something with it. And with that, on behalf of our producer, Susie, and myself, Father Voskin, we invite you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of VPostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.